Well, good morning, citizen lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I've noticed I'm looking outside and there's just a little bit of rain that has come down upon our world today.
And we need it. It's going to make everything just pop as soon as it gets a little water on it.
Yes, I know that. It's amazing how just a small change can make such a big difference. Well, maybe that's that's a theme that we can look at as we explore what's happened this week and what seems to be coming up moving into the future here with a variety of interesting actions, politically speaking. Where do you want to begin?
Well, let's start, there's several things going on with the borough that I want to be sure and mention, but let's start with the city of Palmer, because I know that you streamed that meeting, Mike. In fact, I took advantage of that. I listened to it at home, except I did miss the very beginning of it, so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. But it sounded like everybody was there.
Yes.
Which is really, we should say, that give some kudos to the Palmer City Council. They just about have a full table every time they meet. So, and that's not a very small feat when you do it, you know, a couple times a month, but it's really pretty rare. I think Mr. Best is probably the most absent one, and he calls in now and again, but by and large, people are there, so good for them.
Right, and the first part of that meeting was devoted to a celebration in a number of ways. There were a number of people that were brought up, and
right. I wanted to talk to you about that. They, they have the approval of the agenda, of course, but there were actually five proclamations on the agenda, and some of them are sort of self-explanatory. There was one declaring the week of May 21st through the 27th as Public Works Week.
Right.
There was one on there declaring May as Bike Month, which I think is pretty cool.
Right.
There was one on there talking about, I got three things going here.
Okay.
Multitasking. There was one on there in a proclamation for a couple of people's retirement, Greg Dellinger and Esther Green.
Right.
And then there was one on there for Delana Rachel Pugh, a young 14-year-old, I'm told.
Yes. And
it sounds like was about her good accomplishments that she had done, and but it sounds to me like I know about half a dozen or a dozen really accomplished 14-year-olds. So why that young woman?
Perfect attendance.
So is there
for all the years that she's been in school?
Oh, okay.
I mean, this
is
was
she the only?
Yeah, and I would say there may be others, and there might be someone who's listening or someone knows someone who also has had perfect attendance, but that's a pretty big deal when you can say that not only one, two, three, four, but all her years she has had perfect attendance.
Hmm. Well, yeah, we should put a call out there and see if there's any kiddos, and I don't know how that works out for homeschoolers because they attend too, so... But it just seemed a little interesting to me, and I wasn't there, so I'm glad you felt being on that. And they did have a manager's report. Anything that stood out there, Mike?
I think the manager, I'll put it this way, I think the manager has come into his own, if you will, and he has been able to provide good background. I think he understands what's happening these days. He had to come up to speed, and he's done that. So I don't have anything. There are some other issues that came up that were fascinating to me as time went on. But I would say his report was a good, solid report with a lot of covering the ground well. I would just say that.
Okay. And then they went on to talking, and this is where I kind of jumped in. Was talk about their changing an ordinance to repeal a chapter of their code having to do with planned unit development. And that was quite a long conversation. I listened to most of that.
Right. You might have to go, and others might have to go back and listen again. My sense was this was probably the longest set of statements that I have heard from Councilman Hansen in particular, mm-hmm. as he was mm-hmm. he was explaining his position on this.
Yeah, can you summarize it, Mike? I know Mr. Hansen, you know, has spent time on the Planning Commission. I think he's been on the council for some 18 years now, so he probably would have a big depth of knowledge. I think I did hear the part where Councilwoman Linda Combs came out, and I think kudos to her on this, saying, you know, I say this, I don't have as much strength as some of the people at this table, so I sort of lean on you to explain it to me, which I think is always good that somebody is able to say that. But how did you sum up what they were doing there?
Well, I've thought about this quite a bit, actually. One has to go back and understand, why is this there? Why was it there? And I think you have to understand that we're talking about an ordinance that allows for variations to the standard approach to approving, reviewing, and approving development within the city. Okay, so that's the
premise of it.
That's the premise. Now, this is a lengthy area. It's not just a couple of lines in the code. And the second thing that you have to understand, I think, is that the focus ultimately was on making one change that had to do with one aspect of the guidelines, and that was around the word density. And so but the third thing you have to understand is the relationship between the Planning Commission and the City Council.
Right.
And this was something that had to be said in a couple of different ways. Is that the council is the legislative body, and the Planning Commission is the advisory body, although it exists in a quasi-judiciary fashion in some cases. Mm-hmm. So it's not absolutely simple, clear, et cetera. And possibly the reason why it involves such a lengthy discussion was that the Planning Commission has typically conveyed its findings when it reviews something to the council in simple terms, relatively simple terms. But this time on this particular issue, it was a rather lengthy one. And as a reason, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it sounded to me, and this is just from my 600-foot level, because I'm sort of where Linda Combs is about some of these development things, but it sounded to me like the code presently has it so that when someone has to go for approval on a planned unit development, the decision has been made up to this point at the level of the Planning Commission, and that's sort of the end of it. And there was no role up until this time for the City Council to weigh in either way. And it sounded like what they're changing on this now is to put the council's foot nose under the tent, so to speak.
Exactly.
So that there was a sort of an appeal process
right.
some sort, or the final word now rests with the council. And I think that is sort of where the borough does it, the former. The borough, you know, doesn't weigh in on CUPs and those sort of things. It's the Planning Commission that does. So they are kind of changing up the way that it's been done. Now, is it something that they're needing to do, or is it because there's been a very controversial one that's been kicking around in Palmer for this last year, and their phones have been ringing?
Well, I think
they're not done with it. They didn't finish it up. They did punt it. They're going to do some more work on it, which it sounded to me that they needed to do a little more work on it from my viewpoint anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think from all we've started going down the road of it's complicated. The point you make is the good one, that in fact, the attorney, if you listened there to He was given an instruction, or so it seemed, but he basically raised his hand and said, okay, let me be clear. What is it that you want me to do for this? The next time when we come back, we're discussing that, because there was an attempt made to have an amendment there. And I thought the tension was to look, and a number of council members brought this up. Well, this was one aspect of a major change, set of changes to this whole thing. And they really hadn't talked a lot about the rest of it. So the question was, do we review the whole thing to see the implications for the change, or are we just focusing on this one? And that was his question. And I think what you're going to see is that when it comes back, the council members and the attorney, et cetera, will have reviewed this. And before they have the next meeting, they come to they're going to say, okay, what are the implications, the broad one that you mentioned, of a change of the relationship between the planning group and the council, and also what is this, are we sure about all the implications and unintended consequences from all of this? So
yeah, these changes often have sort of a domino effect, and I think that the attorney was right in that. Often, and this is kind of the way the borough does it, where if they're going to change code, they print out the instead of having two complete documents that you're going back and forth, trying to figure out where the change is, they'll put the changes in the present document in bold, so you can actually read it both ways.
Right.
I don't know that they really settled on that. That takes more time. They seem like they wanted to get it done right away, to have one more public hearing on it. And the clerk, pointed out that that was a much more complicated process. And it sounded like they landed on having two separate documents, which I kind of think is always a mistake. But so maybe they'll rethink that. But I think having one document with the changes in it is much more readable to the public, and also, of course, to the people that have to make the hard decisions.
Right. I agree with you entirely. So once again, we're looking at two aspects of having the council do its work. One is its process. That allows for a focus on what you're talking about. And the second is the substance of a particular change. In this case, for example, the catalyst for it, that we're even talking about, it has to do with that piece of property that's down just south of the Palmer Junior Middle School, and the question of what's going to happen there. There were some points made about changing potential use for it with another group that has a plan for putting another kind of housing on it. And I think that in the audience, I could see them, were a number of people that live in the adjoining subdivision. And they were smiling or not looking grim at this. I think this whole process seems to be moving along in a way that is, I'm going to throw this out, I'm guessing, is more supported, and we'll see what happens at this the next meeting, because it's a very complicated thing, and I would only submit that when you have council members talk a long time about an issue, it demonstrates that it is complicated, and that's what I was hearing. A lot of trying to figure this out.
Well, and this might be one of those things that oftentimes code stays around for a long time, and as land becomes sparse, which it is in Palmer, developable land is becoming fine. There's going to be more of these rub-ups in density where people want to change what's normally put there, or some type of new development comes in that hasn't been experienced in Palmer before. So looking at these codes and having a comprehensive look at them before and staying up with what the building trends are and what the rest of the country is doing is really a smart thing to do, to be prepared of it and look at the whole thing. So they started with a hard one, but at the end, you know what they say, when everybody is a little not happy, then you've probably got the right code.
Right.
because everybody has to give a little bit. But there was another thing, that one was interesting, Mike, and the other one that got quite a bit of conversation on, which kind of surprised me, was a grant to the Downtown's Merchants Association for supporting the Who Let the Girls Out big thing this weekend. And that one went back and forth quite a bit about, you know, reporting and had they reported out last year. And, you know, it's only $2,000, which on the scope of a huge budget is not much. But I think that the piece that was missing there is people were trying to struggle whether or not this is the seventh year that they've given to it, and have they really been told, you know, how it's gone. And although they do have now an actual form that people that are asking for these type of grants have to fill out, and includes what portion of the budget, you know, they're a major sponsor. But there was question whether or not they were actually getting credit for the money they were putting in. But no one really talked about the return on investment. And it seems to me that $2,000 for the amount of sales tax return they get for what is, you know, could be arguably one of the biggest events in Palmer, just never surfaced in that talk about that. And I'm sure they must have some data on that.
I think the longer trail of this thing is that the council has for many, many years struggled with how to define its approach, how to set up the criteria for giving money to groups in support of things that arguably make the community better.
They do have the criteria now. They have a form that people have to fill out.
Right. But the form is not the reality. In this case, because I would submit this. If when what appears to be a thing that has been passed before comes up and people say, whoa, wait a second. And the point you made, and it was made also at the council meeting, that are we just rubber stamping this? Why are we giving, and should it be this amount or that amount? And how important is this amount of money, whether it's 2,000 or 1,500 or less or more, to that event happening? I think what it just once again raised the question of how do you, even though we've got our form, how do we really judge whether we want to keep on doing this? It's there. That's a question.
Yeah. So that was sort of the highlights of that meeting. Do you agree?
I agree.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about what's, and I don't know what else you have, Mike, but I want to talk about a couple of things. Yesterday, the Palmer Chamber, the Matsu Borough presented Jessica Smith from the Matsu Borough and Sarah Jensen presented a little about what's happening on a little roadshow that they've put together about the 2035 Matsu Long Range Transportation Plan.
Yes.
And they have been, they've had six or three open houses, and I think they've had a total of 15 people come to them.
Right.
And it's a little, it's a struggle with these open houses. You and I have had these talks before, but they do have a virtual online open house, which is great. It's on the borough website, just on that, you know, go to the main landing page and put the, go through the viewer there and you'll see, and you can actually weigh in on that. I really hope people do that. It's open till May 12th, and it's critical. You know, you're giving feedback to the borough about improvements that you think you should have in the community about safety and congestion, and you know, we have a big population now, and they need this feedback in order to have a plan that they can kind of plan their next projects out till 2035. And she made some really good points about, you know, we're changing in a big way now. People are, you know, more, the younger generation isn't using cars. In fact, the issuance of driver's licenses is down now. The younger generation is more resistant to wanting to use public transportation. We need to make some accommodations for there. You know, Uber could be coming. So anyway, all good things, plus just the nuts and bolts of, problem intersections and where people see connectability issues and that sort of thing. So I'm encouraging people to go and weigh in on that while they have a chance to do it. Also, the borough is having their last public hearing on the budget process tonight in Willow. Monday they had one at the Menard Center, and Tuesday they had one at the Borough Chambers, and I was unable to do that, and so were you, Mike, because we were listening to the Palmer City Council meeting.
Right.
But hopefully people have weighed in, and then they will start next week on their deliberations about where the budget's going to go. And there are department presentations on the borough website again. So people, if they've missed what the departments have, then they can go there. I think we should probably note at this point, if anybody has read the ADN the last couple of days, Anchorage has faced the fact that their costs are going up, and they are have adjusted for a mill increase to cope with raising costs of health insurance and all kinds of things that they're faced with. So
right, right.
so that's on the borough website too. So I wanted to make sure of that. And then lastly, Mike, I participated Monday in a walkability training that they're having. The borough has gotten the cities of Palmer and Wasilla and Houston together and offered some training to people on how to conduct a walkability audit within cities, and they're actually have a contractor out now doing some auditing of those cities. And tonight at the depot at 5:30, they're going to have a little walkability presentation, plus give some overviews on how those walk audits went and how we can improve our communities by that. I was I also participated in Alaska Trails conference last week, and something interesting to me was we talk about roads and building roads and what job creators they are, but actually there's more jobs created in building a bike trail than there is in a road. And there's we don't give the same amount of money and support often to people of public and transportation or walkers and bikers as we do cars.
Right.
So there's a lot of disparity there in budgets. So,
that meeting tonight at the depot is sponsored. It's open to public, sponsored by.
Oh, AARP is part of the sponsors of that and the borough cities. And
that begins right at 5:30.
5:30.
Oh, good
and
time.
And I hear they're going to actually have some hands-on walkability audits that walking around. It's kind of showing people what some of the highlights of what was learned by some of the people that took the class this year. So,
very interesting.
So that'll be good. Very good.
Okay. Well, that's good. And of course, looming there in Juneau is another week of discussion of the budget decisions that will affect all of us in every way, all of the school districts and the boroughs and the cities and so on, one way or the other. And apparently that there have been some moves, but there's not been any really moves between the two bodies, the Senate and the House, to come to a compromise of some sort.
True. Yep, that's true. It's hard to say what's going to happen. I know there's some people that have put their cars on ferries and sent them out.
Right.
People that work there, they're going to be running out of housing pretty soon, so hard to know. I know there was a really interesting press release that the governor, he had actually a live interview yesterday. I missed it, but it is on the website. And there was a press release, pretty comprehensive press release from his office showing the map of all the state facilities that have been closed and the jobs, thousands of jobs at this point that have been lost because of the lack of planning that is going on down there. So, very, very interesting few days here. I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm ready for this session to be over.
Oh, absolutely. I want the grass to grow and legislature to leave Juneau, and let's move on with summer.
Yeah, I will have a report because people ask me all the time what's happening with the smoke-free workplace bill. It is in the House committee that should wrap up its work on it as early as tomorrow, which will be passed out of has one, the only thing that stands between Alaskans having a smoke-free workplace law in the state will be one committee in judiciary. And then it could go to the House floor and it could go to the governor's office. Depending on how long the legislature goes, we could have one yet this year. But if not, and they do call it into the session, at least it'll be in good position for next year to be passed. So that's encouraging news.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Citizen Lobbyists, for calling in today. And we'll look forward to next week's report. So hopefully there'll be some action in Juneau. And stay dry out there.
All right.
Okay.
Have a good day, Mike.
Yep. Bye-bye.